Praise the Lord. Did he pour you out? Can he pour you out wherever you're at? Father, we just thank you tonight. We give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you, Father God, that you sit in heavenly places and you watch over your children. There is a way you do not know of as of this moment. I am taking my body into a new direction, and I've told you this before, but I will tell it to you again this night. I have laid a different path before your feet. You are on a journey that is not going to end. You are making a way for the second coming of my Son, Jesus. Narrow is this path. You must continually walk this narrow path of holiness and righteousness. There's no loopholes to make mistakes. You must walk as my Son Jesus walked. You must preach my word in season and out of season. You must let my divine nature flow through you. You must allow my glory to bring the miracles wherever you are. There will never be the right circumstance, because I'm going to move when I want to move. And I need a vessel that's willing to move in any given second of the day, night. What you are going to see in the days and the months ahead are going to totally shock you, because it's a new revelation I'm bringing to my body. There are things that's going to come down the road that you're not prepared for as of yet. That is why it's very imperative that you walk closely to the Father. Stay on this narrow path. Evil is going to become even more evil. Fear will come upon my people, even though I tell them not to walk in fear. The fear will come because they are not prepared for what is coming, even though I have forewarned. And I am telling you this night, think this not a strange thing that I say unto you. The hour is very, very imperative, and you must be about the Father's business. You must drop all the facade that you've been walking in. You must at all cost be listening to my still small voice of instruction. The atmosphere weighs heavy with the battle that is going on in the heavenly realm, and my children do not even know it is going on. But you, my children, you have been forewarned about these things. I have spoken about these things over and over and over again, yet some of you are still playing with the fire. And that fire is going to destroy your anointing. I've called you many times to come away, my beloved, into the heavenly places and sit with me at my table and let me instruct you. And I am doing that again this night. I am calling you forth out of lethargy. And I am asking you to get out of self, because it's all about souls. It is not about you. I will take care of you. I will meet your every need as you meet the needs that I lay before your feet of others. My son Jesus knew what his destiny was, and he walked it out. You know what your destiny is, but you keep wanting to stop and take the side roads. This is a night, like every other night, that I speak to you, that I say, watch what you are doing. Walk carefully. Do not allow the enemy to throw a stumbling block before your feet. The snare of the fowler has been laid before you, but I have made a way of escape. There is no excuse. I will accept no excuse. The souls, the harvest, need to be brought in. And I am moving on, with or without you. I have to stay on my timetable. The clock is ticking, and the end is drawing near, and the work has not been completed. Look around about you, see the devastation everywhere. My people have not yet yielded their hearts unto me. My people still do not want heavenly things. And this is what is happening to the world. There's still much devastation that will occur. But you, my children, you do not have to be in that devastation. You just need to yield yourselves more completely to me and walk in the path that I've laid before your feet. There are those that act dumbfounded. They say, well, I just have never heard that. You've never said that to me. But that doesn't cut it. I have said it many different ways. You just didn't want to hear it. And even tonight, some of you don't want to hear it. Do not bring an excuse before the throne of grace. I want commitment, total commitment. I want a vessel that I can work through, a vessel of honor, one that is not consumed in itself. This is serious business, what's going on in the spirit realm. In church, you have not yet become serious enough to fight the strong battles that are ahead of you and win. Come unto me this night. Seek my face. Seek my desires. Close the door on what you want, what you need, what you desire. Come boldly to the throne of grace as an empty vessel that I can work through. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's a cry going out. I hear God saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that is not happening. The body of Christ is not preparing the way of the Lord. The body of Christ is preparing the way for themselves. And that is going to end up in utter devastation. Tonight, God wants to talk about battlefields. Your person just now came in. With the bag. All right, God wants to talk about battlefields. There are different kinds of battlefields. You have the battlefield of the mind. Battlefield of your emotions. Battlefield of decisions, battlefield of different loves, battlefields of whom you can trust. Let's go over those again. There are different kinds of battlefields. You have the battlefield of the mind, battlefield of your emotions, battlefield of decisions, battlefield of different loves, battlefields of whom you can trust. And I know that we all have those battlefields. If we're honest, we all have them. Prayer puts you on, God said, prayer puts you on a spiritual battlefield where you have to prevail. So we have a spiritual battlefield. I believe a lot of people miss that battlefield. They're so caught up in their worldly ways that they don't realize there's a spiritual battle that we are in. That people don't want to admit that there really is a battle in heaven right now. And it's being fought, and the enemy is furious. God addresses that, I think, in something I put out today, newsletter or something. God said, I want my church to have only one battlefield, and that is the battlefield of destroying the enemy's camp. Every other battlefield is sinking sand. Children, I have every battle under my control. You're fighting a battle you've already won. I wished we would get that down into our spirit, man, and understand that the blood at the cross won every battle we'll ever go through. We have to be tested and tried, or we'd be like spoiled rich kids who never amount to a hill of beans. God has been trying to get character in us and integrity. And the people are fighting and kicking and carrying on. They don't want to have to fight anything. They want God to do everything for us, and it doesn't happen that way. He's with us, and he's already won the battle, but you're going to have to fight. All right, where am I at? I know exactly how each and every one will turn out. Turn your battles into chances to praise me. See, we don't know how to praise either. And when we praise, we don't praise properly. We praise, just instead of praising and really, really thanking God and saying, letting God know you really understand, you're yelling and screaming and carrying on, fighting. Why don't you just be quiet, sit still, and just make love to your Father, praise him for who he really is. Sometimes you just have to be still, like God said. You're wearing yourself out. You're beating your head against a wall. You're not getting anywhere. And God tells us, be still. And we don't know how to be still. We think we have to be active and screaming and shouting and carrying on. And really and truly, I'm going to tell you, you'll find your biggest breakthrough when you learn just to be still. When you just sit down and say, Father, I give up. I've done all I know to do. I can't do anymore. I'm just going to sit in your presence and let you know how much I love you. And if you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. You know? Turn your eyes, then God said, turn your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, and keep them there. Psalm 121, 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills from where does my help come. Let's start that again. I lift up my eyes to the hills, period. From where does my help come? Question mark. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is still telling us to fix our eyes upon him. Quit looking at the circumstances. We aren't going to deny they're there. They are there. But we aren't supposed to keep looking at the circumstances. We are supposed to put our eyes upon God and allow him to take care of the circumstances. Never, God said, never for one second deviate from the path I have placed your feet upon. The enemy is running scared. You don't believe that, though. You say, I don't see that. That is because you are not looking into the spirit realm and seeing as I see. You will notice that every time you start an uphill momentum, all of a sudden you find yourself sliding back down into the darkness. That is because your heart is not fixed on me. If it was fixed on me, you would stay on level ground and there would be no chance for the enemy to trip you up. You know, the enemy is fighting us as hard as he can fight us. He's not only fighting us one thing, he's 10 things at one time. And if you're like me, last night I was sitting there and you had battle after battle after battle. And I just sit and start crying. And I said, God, this is so intense. And if I'm having a hard time with it, what are the weaker ones going to do? And, you know, and then I just had told God, you go to the weaker ones, strengthen them, and let them encourage them, lift them up. I know enough what to do. But we need to start thinking about the weak ones. The ones who are just saved, or, you know, the ones who weren't paying attention and didn't get saved and sit in the house of God sinning. And they're going to hell. Somebody needs to pray that God goes to them and ministers to them. And it has to be you and I. This is why God is saying, you can't carry the glory, it would kill you. Because you can't even deal with your own deep circumstances. They take you out, and the glory would surely kill you. Are you listening? This is serious now. I didn't know it was going to be serious, but this is serious with what God said before and now what he's saying now. But I do know, I just heard God said there's a band of angels watching over us right now, keeping us safe. You see, God is always on our side. And if we would just, even though we're going through things, if we just understand that the angels are watching over us, just like God said right now, they're up there fighting in the atmosphere for us. Just like when Daniel prayed for 21 days, there was a war going on for his answer to his prayer. And Daniel just kept praying. But see, we don't do that. We quit. And we feel sorry for ourselves. Phones are too easy to get to. Pick up the phone, call somebody, let them pray for me. No, that isn't going to work anymore. The battle has become so intense that you're going to have to learn how to fight for yourself, knowing that the battle's already won. All right, Psalm 57:7 says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. I will sing and make melody. I wish that was true. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. I will sing and make melody. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Have I not commanded you? When you get this down, when you love God more than you love anything else in this world, I guarantee you, you're going to be on level ground. And even though sometimes the waves are just so strong, they just about take you out. God's going to protect you. And you're going to know you're protected. You're going to feel His presence. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been feeling God closer here in the last month than I have for a long time. He's constantly ever around about me. And God is doing that to keep us safe. He's doing that, speaking, and I don't know about you, but He's speaking volumes to me about different things that's going on in the world. And He's especially concerned about what's going on in the body of Christ. He said they're not getting it, and they're going to go under. I tell you, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to miss your day of visitation with the Father. You talk about screaming and pulling your hair out, you will whenever you find out you've done that. Too late, you can't go back. You're going to have to use every ounce of strength you have someday, guys. Because I know, and I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to have to use every ounce of strength and faith you have some days just to stay above board. That's how hard the body of Christ is being fought right now. The ones that are more, you know, been in the Lord longer are getting fought harder. Your younger ones, you think you're going through great battles, but yours aren't near what we're going through. We're seasoned. And the enemy's trying to take us out because, see, we can look at you and say you can make it because we've been there and done that. And we know what God has brought us through. And, you know, we're us older ones that are seasoned, we're watching you younger people and we're praying for you. Well, I say, I'm praying for you, and I know the others are too. I'm praying that you finally get a hold of and get a grasp on what's really going on around about you and that the battle is to take you out. God is fighting that battle in the heavenlies so that the enemy doesn't take us out, but we have a part to play in that. We have to make sure we do our part. We have to make sure we're walking in holiness, in righteousness. We have to make sure that we're trusting in the Father and not in flesh. Are you understanding this? And you're going to find yourself being separated from people too. Pam, you're going to be separated. It's going to be a lonely time for you, but you're going to be separated because of the anointing that you carry. And He doesn't want anybody to destroy that anointing. God's saying you've been through what you think is enough, but the enemy never thinks you've been through enough. And He's fighting you, and He's going to fight you harder in the next couple days. God said the enemy goes to great lengths to make sure he keeps you in a state of confusion. He makes sure you're distracted on all sides. Just think about what's going on around about you. Is that what's going on? You know, the enemy's distracting you on all sides. He's trying to get you to a place where you can't keep your mind on Christ, but you have circumstances just hit you at every turn. You know, He's trying to take us out. Do you understand that? You know, people are dying, our loved ones are dying, you know, and getting really sick or whatever. But I can't concentrate on that. I really truly can't. And if somebody's dying or sick, I don't concentrate on that because that's God's job. I pray, I let it go. I have to be about the Father's business, and the Father's about His business, watching over that one that's sick or dying or whatever. Some people say I'm cold-hearted, but I've always been like that. I just cannot entertain the dead. You know, go and sit in the morning, carry on. Well, I shouldn't say carry on. I cannot entertain the dead. That's God's job to take care of them. If it's their time, then they'll go on home. You know, I pray. I've even went so far as to raise them from the dead. Found out they didn't want to be raised. So, you know, okay, what do you want to do? Raise from the dead because God said you can? I wouldn't even focus on that. I don't even focus on that anymore now because I found out some people don't want to be raised from the dead. And if God wants them to really come back, He's going to send them back. That's just where I have come to in the last couple of weeks about that. There's other things. We have to be concerned about the living that are dead. You know, the harvest. There are living dead people out there. We need to be concentrating on that. We need to be praying about that. We need to be bringing our lost, the prodigals back home. And that we need to be bringing the drug addicts and the alcoholics into the house of God. All right? I mean, you don't have to be where I'm at. I'm just telling you that's where I'm at with that. All right, 2 Corinthians 1:10. For it is he who rescued and saved us from such a perilous death, and he will still rescue and save us. In and on him we have set our hope, our joyful and confident expectation, that he will again deliver us from danger and destruction and draw us to himself. God will deliver us, but we don't believe that, or we wouldn't be boo-hooing all the time. Right? We wouldn't be going around acting like a bunch of fools. We would be going around with our lights shining and being joyful. No matter what we're going through, people see you're going through troubled times. They say, how can you, Nancy, you said to me, Pastor Barbara, how can you be so happy with all the things you go through? God's taken those things I'm going through. He has them already, and he's going to do with them what he wants to. That's not my job, to stay there in that pit. My job is to keep marching forward, and so is yours. Satan sends confusion when you seek to do God's will. Things that are clearly God's will for you that God keeps on telling you to do in prayer becomes confusing. Things that should be so obvious to you, Satan starts planting seeds of doubt and wonder. I see that every day, don't you, in the body of Christ? I think, how can you be so dumb and go there? You know, why do you entertain Satan all the time? Why do you believe him? Why can't you believe God? You should ask yourself that. Why can't I believe God like I believe Satan? You let Satan throw everything and anything at you, and you carry on like a fool. But yet God tells you all these wonderful things, and you say, was that really God? You know, quit it. God said, and he definitely makes sure he causes you to stumble in your love walk. I'm talking about Satan. If you can't love your father, then you cannot love anyone. What does my word tell you about love? Yeah, before we read that, I'm going to tell you. If you really love your father, you won't believe a thing that Satan's saying to you. Because your father never lies to you. And he will tell you if you're going to go into a pit. He'll tell you if you're going to go through a heavy warfare. He does not lie to you. He does not let things just jump out at you and surprise you. He tells you beforehand, forewarns you of what is ahead of you. A lot of people don't understand when God speaks to them. That's because they don't know God. And you're looking for love. You're looking for earthly love. And that you don't need earthly love. You need to love the Father. You need to get that down. And then maybe you'll be able to do earthly love. That's why you see the mess in the world that you see. Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? You know, they were talking to Jesus, and Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I wouldn't want some of you to love me like you love your neighbor. Isn't that an amen? But we're supposed to love our neighbors. We're supposed to love God first. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I just like to take some Christians and stick their head in the toilet and flush it a couple of times because they can be so dumb. But you still have to love them even though they're dumb. You have to understand they don't have under their belt what you have under your belt. They should, but they don't. So we have to love them just like God loved us through our messes, right? We have to love them through their messes. You weren't always saved. I'll never forget the first time God said that to somebody in church. He had me say to them, you weren't always saved, so why are you judging others so harshly? We all think we were always saved, don't we? We forget what we used to do. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, and as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You're going to say, I'm a child of God, and they're going to watch your love walk and say, really now? That doesn't line up with the Word of God, what you're doing. So if you're going to run around telling everybody that you're God's child, then act like it. All right, God said, what is the gross darkness that I spoke about? It is hate in its fullness. Hate is more prevalent than love in the land today. The very thing I stand for, which is love, the enemy has trampled underfoot. My church is also guilty of hate. Church, you need to cleanse your hearts of all this dark sickness and allow my Holy Spirit to cleanse the inside of the cup. I've always made sure all my life that my house was a house of love and a house where God dwelled. But the last 20 years, that hasn't been so. Hate was brought into my house. And every year it magnifies itself even greater than the year before. It's very hard in my spirit, man, because I'm not a person of hate. And if you want to find out something that can wear you down quickly and make you go to the Father and cry out for his peace, it's to live with a hateful bunch of people. You know, they look in your face and they say one thing. Behind your back, they say something else. But you hear hate all through the house. That is not a good thing. But God has promised me this year that that's all going to go away. And I'll have my house of love again. I don't understand how people can live with hate. I don't. And that's why this world is so messed up. They just don't know love. God told me that when I was first born again. They know lust, L-U-S-T. But they don't know love. And the longer I go, the more I can see that. When people have relationships now, it isn't love, it's lust. You're like a bunch of dogs in heat. You know, and that makes me sick, and I know it makes God sick. There's no love there at all. It's always lust. It's ridiculous. I'm so glad that Alan and Donna, that God put them together. That was love, and Even their wedding was beautiful. It was love. It was God. And that's what we should have in the house of God. Well, I got off on a side road, so let's get back here again. Didn't mean to do that. Let's go to Matthew 23:26. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate. The outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Are you a Pharisee? I hope not. Because God addressed the Pharisees quite a bit in his word. God said, I am a God of my word, and I lie not. I tell you a truth. You are deceitful on all sides, and you have yourself fooled into believing nobody sees. But I see. I see, and I know all, and I am judging the house of Israel even as I speak. And he's talking about the church. I have people in my life, they act like they're telling me the truth all the time, but really what they're doing, they're just telling me only what they want me to know. And then they're keeping the other little stuff that they don't want me to know to their self. So that's a half-truth. That's deceitfulness. And I don't care for that. Don't talk to me at all if you're not going to tell me the whole truth. You know, what is there inside of you that is deceitful like that? You have to ask yourself these things. Why am I deceitful? Why do I only put so much out there and I don't want them to see other things that are inside of me? I was told one time, you just need to quit telling about yourself. Then as I got into the Word, I'm so glad I have no skeletons in my closet, because the enemies can't pull that out and at the right time and give God a bad name. So get your skeletons out of the closet, get rid of them, and then walk in the fullness of God. You know, sometimes some of you get your Word, I thought, oh God, there a closet door just opened up and God just revealed something to the whole church. Well, now they know, so don't have to hide it no more, right? I really think that that's a, you know, I don't like to do it, but I think it's a good thing in the long run, because this thing you've been hiding and afraid somebody else is going to find out about, God just brings out in the open, you know. Then you don't have to worry about it no more. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I always think I'm a little nut every time I read these. Philippians 4:8-9, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He's saying meditate on the good things, not on the bad things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, what did he say? I think it was as Paul wrote this, wasn't it? He said, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, God said, I live the life of Jesus before you. And if you live the same way I live, then the God of peace will be with you. God said, you are nothing but dead men walking this earth. That was a nice statement, wasn't it? All right, James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We don't have enough humility in the house of God. Too much pride. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the spirit, brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet in an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. Now, you heard all that, and this is what God is saying. I am calling you forth. I am calling forth the dry, dead bones to come alive into my resurrection power and bring in this end-time harvest of lost souls. So he's calling you forth at night, your dry, dead bones. I am calling you from the very depth of my heart. Are you listening? Are you hearing this deep call, thunder, deep message this day? There is a place of deep intimacy with God where spirit calls unto spirit. That's what I wrote. To experience a deeper dimension of God's presence, your soul must hunger and thirst for God. And I'm sorry to say that's why not many can walk that straight and narrow path, because they aren't thirsting and hungering after God. Intimacy with God is found only in the realm of the spirit. To experience a deeper dimension of God's presence, your soul must hunger and thirst for God. In the same way a deer pants for the safety and substance of water. I'm going to stop there, because women, you need to know something. Lustful, whoremongering men come into the house of God. I was told this by one of those type of people, because they said that they can get more women to go to bed with them in the house of God than they can in the world, because they said you're stupid and senile, and they can talk you into doing anything. And that's why lustful, perverted men come into the house of God, not saved. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They're in here to pry on you innocent people who aren't walking in the spirit yet and don't understand and can't tell who is perverted and who is not. And they'll take you out. Just because a man sits in the house of God doesn't mean they're of God. You need to always remember that. When I was told that, and this person was being very honest and open with me, I was very shocked. But even though I had witnessed that for ever since I've been born again, the men in the house of God were always trying to do things with me. They just didn't know who they were dealing with. I'm not perverted in any way. But see, some of you are young, and you're in this age group where it feels good, do it. Well, if feel good, do it, it'll take you to hell. And, oh, look, that guy, he's looking at me. Well, you know what? He's looking at 10 other women, too. So you just need to really get this. If you really want to walk with God, you're going to have to get your mind on Christ and keep it there and not allow the men in the house of God to pull you out of God's will. They're so much better for you. They're so much better for you. You're selling yourselves far too short. And there's women in the house God do the same thing, but it's more men than it is women. I've had women come up to me and tell me why they were here, and I'd like to blow my mind. People, they didn't know how innocent I was then, and I didn't know what I know now. And things they were telling me what they were doing here, I just couldn't hardly fathom all that. But I learned to fathom it. Learned a lot of lessons. And so men, there's women in the house of God the same way. All right, then God's saying, I am calling from the very depth of my heart. Are you listening? Are you hearing this deep call unto deep messages today? In Psalm 42:7, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Only a call from the depths can provoke a response from the depths. God is asking you to call from the very depth of your heart for him to come and consume you and use you for his glory. Nothing shallow can ever touch the depths, nor can anything superficial touch the inward parts. Deep is calling to deep. Spirit is calling to spirit. What are you going to do with it? Deep is calling to deep. Spirit is calling to spirit. How deep do you want to go with God? You know, okay, you might be just deep enough where you'll go to heaven and sit in a rocking chair. But that isn't what God wants. He wants us to go so deep that while we're here on earth, we'll be warriors and we'll fight for him. And then when we go into heaven, he gives us places of authority. You know, when God creates the new earth and new heaven, how do you know? You might be the next president. You know what I'm saying? What kind of authority is it, you know, do you really want? You look at me like, you know, you might think I'm crazy, but I know what I'm talking about. Whatever you're doing down in this earth is what you're going to be doing in heaven. And then it's going to be what you're going to be doing when God brings us back down here with a new heaven and new earth. Everything God has given me to write in the bulletin, two articles, and the newsletter, he's talking about the battle that we're in. And this is where God's at right now, the battle. He wants to understand how strong the battle really is. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've been spending many time just sitting crying because the enemy has just been attacking right and left. And I see all the sin around about me, and it's just driving me to distraction. You know how that goes. You all been there, right? You're there. Sin's around about you, and it hurts your spirit, man. It grieves him. You just sit and cry, God, when is this ever going to end? And we know it ends when he wants it to. I know that. But still, no, I still do that little stupid thing. When is this ever going to end? What do you really want from God tonight? If you want that deep walk with him, then spirit's calling to spirit. And the altar's open. God's going to give you tonight whatever kind of walk you want. So what you decide tonight is what you're going to have for the rest of your life. If you want a deep walk, he's going to give it to you. If you want spirit calling the spirit, that's what you're going to be. The spirit's always going to be. Even Brother Allen's telling me, he said he's been hearing God. He just hears his voice constantly now. See, he's been crying out, give me the deepness of who you are, Father. So what is it that you want? You know, God's telling me, I'm not going to smack you up alongside him. I'm going to give you a gentle touch tonight. And then you're going to continually feel that gentle touch, and you're going to know that I touched you tonight. And then I'm touching you every day of your life. You know, if you don't want the deepness, that's all right with God. He'll just move on to somebody else. In fact, in one of the things he had me write, he's going to take some people's mantles now because they aren't serious with him. If you have a mantle, I would be very concerned how long I'm going to keep it if I'm not walking right with God. Alan, was you wanting to stand for the deepness, or was you just up here to catch? Okay. I want you guys, when you need know that you want something, you need to go ahead and receive it too. We all should have a chance to receive everything God has for us.